Amen. Come on, Fabe from Honolulu.
I love this guy. Love this guy. Aloha, no. Good morning. That was pretty weak. I know you jacked up on coffee. I saw you're like, good morning. Not sounds like coffee drinkers. Okay. All right. Well, it's just a privilege being here. It's interesting in my life as I get older, I still surf and play softball. In fact, we dragged Lisa with us and I drove down your beautiful 15 freeway and saw the road rage driving here to Vegas. And it was amazing we got there alive and in one piece, but it was good. But what I'm finding is my wife schedules softball for 3 days. And when I'm traveling, now I'm preaching at these places, right? And only God can do that. I was sharing with a brother that I'm an island kid. I'm a street kid who became a police officer. But when I was a teenager, there's no way I envisioned myself being in the Middle East, standing on the Sea of Galilee on the shore and preaching God. There's no way an island boy could do that. But who does that? Jesus, right? And so I want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at today, but today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's a reason he's letting us step on grass instead of being under grass. And so be who he wants you to be today. Amen? Amen. So I was, Keith is very challenging at times. He goes, yeah, I just want to like do an interview. And I said, okay, what interview? All right, whatever. And then like maybe less than a week later, can you do a short message? I was like, eh? So it's going to be a short message, I hope. And then we're going to, in Hawaii, we say talk story or vala'au. We're going to be talking a little bit about the ministry that God has my wife and I in. But I'm so blessed to be here. My wife is blessed to be here. And our sister Lisa, and we really consider her a sister, has allowed us to share her home, her doggy with us. And it's been such a refreshing time for my wife and I. So thank you for allowing us to be refreshed in your beautiful state. Amen. If you're going to follow, I was wondering, you know, Lord, how can I encourage your people in Utah? And he gave me this message for you, and it's in Philippians chapter 4, if you can turn there. We'll be going through verses 11 through 13. And let me give you my heart with this. For those of you who don't know me, I was a competitive fighter. And then I became a police officer. And what I see in this generation, maybe like even 10 years, when I look at MMA guys and they're really skilled, and women, they're really skilled. But I see a lot of these fighters, they tat this verse, 4:13, Philippians. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm wondering if they know the above verses before Paul says that, right? And that's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through that this morning. I've entitled the message, The Process of Being Spiritually Strong. The Process of Being Spiritually Strong. So, Father, we come before you and we ask you humbly, as the psalmist wrote in 119, 105, let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to wear your word around our neck for the world to see, and inscribe it on the tablet of our hearts so we can be the men and women you call us to be. Help us in this crazy end times we live in, God. But you, as Keith was sharing, you are. You don't reflect it. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So would you be that for us today? We pray this in your holy name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, let's traverse through God's word. I'm going to read the verses for you, and then I'm going to just take it a little at a time, each verse at a time. So let's look at verse 11. And Paul writes, not that I'm speaking of being in need or want, For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound or have much. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. In verse 13, I can do all things through him or Christ who strengthens me. You know, when I look at verse 11, Paul says that not that I'm speaking of being in need or want. That word want is interesting in the Greek, is hosteros. And it means to fall short or be in poverty. And sometimes we look at financial things, home, cars, whatever. But I want to challenge you today that I believe God wants us to go deeper, that sometimes you and I can impoverish ourselves spiritually. Spiritually, we fall short, right? Amen? We fall short. All of us fall short. And so when Paul writes this, I believe not only physically, but spiritually, he's encouraging us that we have the power to believe. You and I have the power to believe, or Keith said earlier, to have faith. That's a choice you and I have. You and I have the power to believe. Not only know, some of you know the Bible really well, but many Christians will miss heaven by 18 inches because it's not inscribed in the tablets of their heart. I'm not into theologians. I'm into men and women who love Christ, who live Christ and share Christ. Amen. Anybody up here, including Keith, and comes and just gives you information and you walk out like, wow, they're real smart. That's a missed opportunity. Anyone who comes and shares should be given an opportunity to experience Jesus, not astound you with knowledge and theology. Amen. And so when Paul writes these things, you and I have to consider the power to believe and experience. Sometimes we don't have enough spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. We just don't. And this is the two paths we choose when we don't have enough. We become bitter or we become better. And you have to think about that. Many people can go into a gymnasium and full of weights, and they go in there and they go, and they breathe the weights. And they walk out, that was a good workout. But a good workout is you're actually pushing it, pulling it, lifting it, right? And does it hurt the next day? Yes, lactic acid sets in, the muscles are stretched, fibers are broken. But when it heals, we get stronger. I want to encourage you, it's the same spiritually. It is in our busy American lives. It's a chore to open this book. Amen? But we have to schedule it because Americans, we're so busy. We're so busy, right? And when you start to consider, how do you and I get spiritually strong? We have to go through the process of relationship with Jesus and let him be our strength. And so when I'm starting to consider this, do I want to be bitter or better? I know this for my, and I'll speak for myself. This is what God desires for me. He desires, and in these verses, he tells us, he desires you and I to become mature in our walk with Jesus. To be mature. There's a lot of young people in here, but those of us who have age, we were discussing, Mona and Lisa and I, over our journeys that, boy, we made some silly, I want to use a strong word, stupid choices when we were young. Amen? And there's always consequences to that. But it matures us. And it's the same with our spiritual walk. You and I will make poor choices at times spiritually. I'd rather watch that. I'd rather do that and not pray, not listen to worship, not go and help somebody that we know that needs help. But you know what? God is still God, and he still loves you and I. And he's going to use that moment to strengthen us, not make us bitter, but make us better. So when we look back, we go, whoa, no, I did that before. Nah, I want to choose something else. And I'm really concerned about the choices that Christianity makes today. I really am. Because if God wants us to be mature with our walk and powerful, how many Christians really jump into the preparatory stage and say, process me, Lord? For me and my wife, process us because we're going into prisons and we're going into sex trafficking young facilities with women who are broken and abused. And God, how do I do that? How do I do that, Lord? How do I do that? You and I have to choose to let God take us through the process of being mature, getting us ready, stepping into the spiritual gym and working out and saying, wow. You see, if y'all did that, this church would take down this cultic strongholds of Utah. It will take it down. And I'm telling you, we experience those strongholds in the islands from our kahuna system, from all the traditions of the Hawaiian culture. We experience the same thing in a different way, but we still experience strongholds. You have the power to break those strongholds in Christ. Amen? And so as you start to think about Paul writing this, he's gone through so much. And then he in verse 12, he tells you and I today, I've learned how to be content with much and with nothing. I have learned to be content in that. And that word content, autarkos in the Greek, is being sufficient, being strong enough just for that moment. Can you be content today in who you are and what God's calling you to be so you can do what he's calling? You see, the being part is the hard part. But God will never take a six-month-old baby and go, yo, go to the front lines and fight the war. You'd never do that, right? He'd wait till we're mature and then he'll send us. He'll send us as warriorettes and warriors. For his glory, he would do that. But how many of you have avoided that process? Because it's uncomfortable. It's difficult. And this is my wife's one-liner. And you know what? Let me do this. It's a Hawaiian gem I give to you today. Free of charge. Free of charge. You don't have to pay me. It's from my wife, and she's a giver. If it was for me, I would charge you. But this is her thought. Hard is not bad. It's just hard. Hard is not bad. It is just hard. Think about that, right? We can use the hard, the difficult, to mature us, to get us stronger, to be different the next moment we face something similar. And so when you start to think about Paul saying this, I've learned to be sufficient, strong enough for the moment. You know, making a choice to be joyful is the key to being real. We had a big event just a couple of weeks ago for one of the facilities we go into. And like a month ahead, they're really gracious, this caterer. They give us family and friends discount because of the ministry. And, you know, we go there, we pay it a month in advance, and they got the list of the food we want so we can take in for the young people. And then we pull up in our truck and ready to pack it with food, and the guy can't even find our receipt. And it's supposed to be ready, right? And the event is like in an hour. And my head wants to explode. And my wife is in there, like, she comes out and she's like singing worship. And I'm prancing on the outside. And I hear her singing worship. And then her and I together in the back of the truck bed, and we're singing worship. And it's in a strip mall. And people are walking by us like, what are they on? And we're just, joy, 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 down in my heart. You can't steal my joy. You know, and Mona and I are just rocking in the back of the truck. And people think we're lunatics. And we are for Jesus. But you know what? It gives you a different heart condition. It knocks down the darkness, right? And so I challenge you, as Paul is saying, you and I have the choice today. When in our hard moments, can we worship him? and say, this is going to be hard, but it's not bad. And you devil, you earthly realm can't steal my joy. No, I refuse to allow that to happen. And it is a conscious choice that we make. It is joy. Being thankful, not for the circumstance. I got my brother going to do the eye thing tomorrow. And I don't expect him to be thankful with the procedure, but he should be thankful in the procedure that God will bless the doctor, the nurses, the technicians, the strategies. And even in your life, know that God has a plan for you. Otherwise, he's a liar. In Jeremiah 29, 11, I know the plans I have for you. And it's not of evil, but of peace, to give you a future and a hope. How about Paul, Romans 8, 28, God works all things. Look up the word all. It means all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. You see, these are just not Bible churchy things. These are power truth bombs that we knock down darkness with. Amen? I'm going to tell you, it works in my life. Because I got some dark moments in my head and heart at times. Like I said, driving down your freeway to Vegas, whoo, I saw these crazy people and I was like, wow, if this was on my island, they would get it. But you guys don't fight up here. Everybody does this, right? Nobody trains up here. I'm like, oh, I wasted all those years of training. I could have just, but when you think about you being spiritually strong in the process, know that God's desire for you, as like in Paul, is for us to be content. I love children. That does not bother me at all, man. It's so cool. I love the youth, the sound of youth. And when you start thinking about Paul encouraging us today, we have to learn to be content, right? Because that's not normal for you and I. Look when we're like the 300 person in line trying to get in. You just want to tap on a shorter cut. Tap on a shorter cut. We have to learn to be content because it's not normal for us. It's not a fruit of the flesh. And so when Paul begins to encourage you and I this morning, I want you to consider this. I just picked two. There's so many people in the Bible. But in the Old Testament, the two guys who stick out to me was Joseph. If you know his story, it's crazy. And Daniel. These two men are tremendous examples with being in the pit. Being in the pit of life, but having hope for an escape. Think about it. When you're in your pit, do you have hope for an escape? Or do you keep trying and trying and trying? Remember, your arm is way too short to touch God. His arm isn't. Let him reach down and pull you out of the pit. Right? Stop striving. I love the Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. In that time of concern and darkness and wrestling, be still, take a deep spiritual breath, and know that he is God. Because he is. It's not just a churchy thing. Know this, when you leave this place today, I hope you get this from my message. God wants a relationship with you. He's not about religion. He is not about a system. He is not into check block, and now you're good. He wants to be in your good, your challenges, and everything in between. That's what he wants. But you have to choose to let him in. He won't break down the door to get in. Amen? That's a relationship. You know, you look at verse 12, and Paul says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound and have much. And in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. Again, I use my own life as I give my life over to Christ and share his love and truth with people. The crazy thing is I get back personal blessing. It's crazy how that works out. You think you're going to go over here and bless this person. When you leave, you're like, whoa, I'm so blessed. It's just like a piece of God that falls beyond our understanding. And we get this jacked up spiritually. And we're just like, wow, that was really a blessing to help that person. Or to be what that person needs. And sometimes it's just a hug. You come here not because you're going to miss church, but you're going to miss the fellowship of the saints. Your smile, your tear, your hug, your word, it might just make somebody's day. And then you'll receive the blessing back from the Lord. Amen? Does that make sense? And so when you start to consider these verses and look at it for your own life, are you and I ready and willing to pour out to others? Right? To pour out to others. It's a challenge. We can do it to our families. I'm from an island Latino background. It's like blood in, blood out. You know what I mean? And so growing up, it was like, yeah, for the familia. But it's like, God goes, no, the whole world is my family. I'm like, even though they look like that? Right? And God goes, yeah, I made them just special, just like I made you. But you see, we have to choose to be that kind of people because that's not normal. That is not normal for us. And in verse 12, Paul says, man, as I give my life over, God wants me to share it. How many of you want a church with a whole bunch of fat sheep, spiritually speaking, not physically, a whole bunch of fat sheep in the church and they're going, bah, bah. They can barely move. Bah. And they're not even sharing anything. So they stay fat. And they go, you can't figure out how to get fat yourself. And they're walking around like fat sheep. But God fattens us up to share. Does it make sense? To help those without, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. That's why we get physically full, spiritually full, mentally ready, because he wants to use us as his hands and feet. I like this in Acts 20, verse 35. You can put it up there for me. Oh, good, I don't have to read it. Look at what the writer writes, and then Jesus speaks. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, here's Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, that pouring out, right? That pouring out. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's not normal. But it's what we're called to be and do. To pour out. If you say you're a believer, you should be pouring out, not getting fat. Not getting fat spiritually, but pour out God's love, pour out God's truth. However, he has groomed you to pour it out. Let him use you as his hands and feet. And when I start to think about my own life and doing this study, I came out with this one question. I asked a lot of questions, but this one in particular is, why is building a relationship challenging at times? Think about your life. Think about all the relationships that mean something to you. All right? All those relationships. Why is building this close relationship with another human being challenging at times? All right? Process that. Think about, in your mind right now, the one on earth you love the most and those challenges you have within that love, right? I wish I could go around and you can't all give me your thoughts, but we can't do that because Keith wants to interview me. But here's some of Fabian's thoughts on the question, why is building a relationship challenging at times? And this is my thoughts for me. First of all, in a relationship, there are disagreements. There are disagreements. We just don't see things the same as another human being, especially if it's a female. They look at things way different than men. Men were A, B, C, D, gonna have E. And women are like, let's do this. And you know how they shop. They're like butterflies going around. We're hunters. I want that. We're out of here. But God's using it both. Amen. And so there's going to be disagreement. How about this one? Why is there challenges in a relationship? I have expectations. If you don't do it that way, we're going to have trouble. Because I'm expecting this. And the old Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way, right? And I always share with people that Fabian's world is perfect until another human being walks into it. And I was like, oh man, I got to compromise. I got to make adjustments. Right? And it's very challenging because we have expectations. And for me, this is the toughest of all my wrestling. I'm going to try not to get emotional. There is a cost. There is a cost for relationships. That's why we don't see it in the church. How are you doing? They put up the face. Fine. How are you doing? Fine. It's like, really? I'm the pastor and I don't feel fine. Can you give me your secret? Maybe you should come up here and share, right? So at my church, if somebody asks me, Pastor Fabe, how are you doing? I go, you want to sit down? I'm going to tell you, just come in here. I wanted to like, I had all these thoughts in my head. I was ready. You know, I'll tell them the truth because I'm not fine at times. I'm not. And sometimes we're too skittish in this environment called church to pour into somebody because there's a cost. Over the years, my wife and I have poured into so many young people, and sad to say, over the years, we've seen them physically pass for whatever reason, getting shot, vehicle accident, drown. And we spend like a year pouring into them, right? And then her and I, we're in tears, wondering, could we have done something better, different? And, you know, we come to the conclusion, God is God. We did our best and he does the rest, right? But it hurts. And there's a cost to it. There's a cost to relationships. And so as I wind down, and now we get to the most famous part. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But notice I spend more time on the preparation process, right? And then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you if you're prepped for it. If you're in the relationship, not only with loved ones here, but with God, how's your relationship with Jesus look today? That's on you. I know how mine looks. I know who I lean on, what I need to survive this day. I know that for me. But how about you? What do you do? Pray in the morning? Study a little bit? Or our day are too busy and the end of the day, we're on the edge of our bed. We're going to pray for everybody. I call this my 2-minute drive-by prayer. Lord, bless my family. And you're out. You're out. It's a 2-minute drive-by, right? What relationship do you desire with Jesus? Because he's all in. Never forget the cross. He's all in. And the question for you today is, how deep are you in? As Paul says, because if you're in it deep, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I hope you never forget that. Because it'll create strength and it'll create confidence. Because when you think about what Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. When you pour out, godly giving does more good for the giver than the person who receives it. When God uses me to minister, when I'm done, I'm just like, wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm so blessed that you got me here in Utah. If you only knew my story, you'd be amazed while I'm here that I'm a pastor. You see, normal for me was hurting other human beings. I don't care what a fighter tells you. When you step on the mat or the ring, you want to hurt that other human being. That's your intention. That's your motive. We can be politically correct, who has more heart, who has more technique, stamina, whatever. But truly, the heart is you want to hurt people. Today, I'm telling you, I choose to love people. I'd rather be loved than have respect out of fear. I'd rather be loved and share love. And when I hear Jesus says, it's better to give, my loved ones, give of yourself. I'm not talking money. I'm talking time, I'm talking abilities. I'm talking whatever God opens for you. Because all of you can touch people that some of us can't. Don't miss out. Touch them with the love of Jesus, and you will receive blessings. Our ministry, and this is my last verse and thought, our ministry, all things possible. Our verse for our ministry is Matthew 19, 26. With men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's the name of our ministry, right? I want you to remember that. With God, all things are possible. I don't care how deep your pit is, how much mud you're stuck in. You let God in and watch the supernatural work he's going to do for you and through you. And then you'll be sitting amazed, amazed. Remember, as Paul ends, in Christ, we can do all things. My last thought, and I'll leave you with this. And sometimes when I study the Gospels, I know Jesus knew Judas was a betrayer. I knew, because God knows all things. I knew, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, right? And the question is, why did he choose Judas? Why did he choose Judas to come to betray him? It's a good question, right? We wrestle with that. Just like, God, why did you let these things happen in my life? Somebody else's choice that hurt me. My wife and I experience that all the time with young people, that adults make bad decisions for them, the young person, and now they have this trauma, right? So why did Jesus choose Judas, even though he knew he would be betrayed? I'm going to tell you, here's a better question. Why did Jesus choose Fabian? Why did he choose me? I have no idea. I have no idea why he chose me. I have no idea why he chose you, but he did. Know that you're precious. Know that he loves you with a great love. And he tells us that in Psalm 36, 5. My love stretches to the heavens. My faithfulness reaches to the sky, and my righteousness is like mighty mountains. My loved ones, cling to that truth. God loves you, and he wants to use you as his hands and feet today. Father, I thank you for this moment I've had to share your word, your truth, your love with your people. May you be glorified in our lives. The world is chaotic, and the world is filled with confusion. And yet, you chose, we don't know why, for all of us to live in this time. I guess, Lord, you think we're tough enough for it. but you have chosen that. So would you help us just bring a spark of Jesus' love and truth into this dark, lost world today? I pray a blessing over your people here in Utah, that your light of hope and love, mercy and grace would shine bright to break down these strongholds of darkness. And I ask this in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Love you guys.